I'm not proud of that, but at the same
That's how it
time, yes, I
goes.
am.
No, but yeah, the detail that you created and the fact that you got to get a photo with Mary Elizabeth
Oh my God,
made me very
yes. She
happy.
was so awesome. She's like a fucking badass. Ugh, you guys, I can't wait. Seriously, I keep asking Austin to not show me much of the story, or I heard the music, I heard some of the songs, but I keep trying to like push it because I do want to play it, and I want to know what's the story and who would I like to like enamorate or whatever, you know. So
The
I
romance
don't know.
options, yep.
Yes. Like as far as I know, there are four options, and I think the character that I cosplay is gonna be my first. End life. We're alive and life.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We're not actually live, though.
Well,
This is
okay.
pre-recorded.
Never mind. Yeah. Yay, we're
We
here.
are. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm glad you had time to return to this.
Me? You were the one who was holding back the whole thing.
I know, I know. I was just hoping to blame you, but you're
Yeah,
right.
no.
Yes, I basically had to put all of this kind of stuff on hold for the month of
Basically, your
April.
entire life.
Yep, because this past week, after many, many years and lots of
Five,
secret.
to be
Yep.
accurate.
After 5 years. We were able to finally kind of pull the curtain back on Stray Gods quite a bit and like showcase. First off, reveal our whole cast, which was exciting because that's been a secret that's been hard to keep. I've been so excited about all the awesome people we got to work with.
Let's do like the basics. Stray Gods is a
Yes.
video game you've been working on for like 5 years. And
Yes.
finally, this past week on Wednesday, you had like a big event.
Yeah, we put on a private invitational concert slash I've been just calling it a showcase because we also did like Q&A and we showed the trailer. So it wasn't like a pure traditional concert. You know, it obviously had this Q&A component to it. Troy hosted.
Yeah. It was so exciting. I don't know if anybody here got to see the stream. They
On
were
Critical
streaming it
Role.
on Critical Role channel, which was pretty good. And it was fucking great, the event. It's not because I'm biased or anything,
If
but
anything, you were biased the other way. You were so tired of me talking about it.
I'm not tired of you talking about it, but I've heard that music a lot of times, and it was very satisfying to finally see live all these pieces that I remember. It was exciting and inspiring, and I think the actors did a great job.
So yeah, to that end, we had announced when the game was first publicly announced for the FIG campaign back in, I think, 2019, ages ago, we announced Laura Bailey as our star, and we announced Mary Elizabeth McGlynn as a kind of unspecified role because you could hear them both.
Can you give a little background?
Well, Laura, of course, is one of the most well-known voice actors in the world today. Most famous for obviously Critical Role and the animated series associated with that as well, but also Last of Us Part Two as Abby. She was in Uncharted 4. She played what's her name opposite Troy in Tales from the Borderlands. The two of them were the co-leads of that. She's in Shadows of War.
Everywhere.
A million things. Yeah, just thousands and thousands of things. And Mary Elizabeth McGlynn also has done a million things, a lot of like English translations of anime and things like that. And then she also directs a ton, including The Legend of Vox Machina. She's the director of all the voices on that.
Nice.
So she's just a total badass. So the two of them were known because you could hear them in our little trailer thing. We also at some point did announce that Troy was going to be our like performance director, but we didn't actually reveal until right before the event that he was also actually in the game as our as Apollo. And then the other big surprises were like Anjali Bamani as Medusa, Rahul Kohli as the Minotaur, Felicia Day as Athena, Kari Payton as Pan, Allegra Clark as Hecate, Erika Ishii as Hermes. Who else was at the event? Janina Gavankar as Grace's best friend, Freddy. And then our sort of ace in the hole big surprise of the evening before the stream ended, which was just so much fun to plan, was, of course, Ashley Johnson as Calliope. Abu Biker Salim as Eros. The whole thing was just so fun. Anthony Rapp as Orpheus. It's just been so much fun. All last year, something like 90 recording sessions with the cast. Just every day or every other day, another session. And one of the big themes of the night was me just going on and on and on about how difficult this was for the actors and therefore how awesome they are that they did such a good job. Because, you know, they would work on a song and then it would be like, okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks when you're available again. And then, you know, we'd record with other actors in the meantime. Then 2 weeks later, it's like, okay, here's where we left off. We're right in the middle of this song. There's huge amounts of music in this, and because it's all interactive and branching, you know, you just have to kind of work your way through it, which means it never really feels like you're singing a song in any traditional sense. There's nothing for them to learn, like, oh, I'm going to take this 3 minute or 4 minute song and just learn it and sing it back like you would if you were preparing for a Broadway show. Merle Dandridge, I just realized I left off. Merle Dandridge.
Oh my God.
As Aphrodite, one of my absolute favorites to work with because she would be so quiet and like total pro, just listening to Troy and me and then say, okay, sure. Yeah, I can do that. And then this huge voice would come out every time. It was nice. It's just so awesome. But yeah, so anyway, just them having to just sort of trust us and go with it. It just never failed to amaze me that they did such a good job.
90 sessions, I think the last...
something like that.
Yeah, I asked how long each session was, and you said like 3 or 4 hours?
There were 4 hours. And usually it was about half and half of them doing lines of dialogue, like from all the non-singing parts of the game, followed by... starting with 2 hours of nonstop singing. So Troy and I basically were back and forth to each other. And of course, the funny thing is, one of the big secrets that I had to keep was that for a month, Troy had to go away, and I had to direct by myself because he was up in Canada shooting The Last of Us. And so a couple times he would join from his hotel room, you know, with all like the remnants of his makeup from the day and that sort of thing.
All of it blood on his neck.
Mm-hmm. Merle, too. She went up there to film as Marlene.
Oh, yeah.
So we had this big secret, not just our game, but what they were cooking as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was a bit crazy.
So, yeah, basically life has been crazy, but it's now coming back to normal, I hope.
Yeah, more or less. You know, still got things to do, still have things to finish with Stray Gods, but I am, you know, we're getting close. We announced the release date of August 3rd. And, but before any of that, also, it's worth mentioning that you were a big hit at this event as well. Because
thank you.
Yeah, you had a chance to look at all the different character designs and sort of see which one.
Yeah, I cheated. It feels so good though, because all my years as a cosplayer, like 10 plus whatever, you know, it's been a long time. Everybody knows how difficult sometimes it is to get the right details, like, accurately, because of whatever, you know, you have to screenshot or...
So in other words, your reference is
my reference were... Yeah, exactly. So it felt so good to be able to have, like, the actual art of, like... Obviously, I had to ask Austin, like, can you send me a few images, a few, like, stills or whatever? And then he showed up with the fucking album full of, like, every angle of the character I wanted to cosplay. And he was like, oh, my God, this feels so illegal.
Yeah, you had the inside track. I saw on Twitter our art director, Ben, who was just so over the moon that it blew his mind to see a character that he had worked hard to create brought to life so faithfully. I mean, it was a real life. And obviously...
you know how that feels.
Our friend... Well, not as the creator of the character. I have my own version of, it's like, true, people doing covers of the music is always a deeply affecting and touching gesture. It means a lot when people do that. But it's a whole other ballgame, I think, for an artist... Especially knowing that, I mean, I don't know about whole other ballgame. Maybe they are similar. They're just different medium, but they're similar concept. All I know is he was over the moon because not just that you did it and that our friend also did Grace, but that you did it flawlessly. Like it was, he was just like, this thank is a you. Real life, real world Persephone. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad he liked it. Just to be honest here, I was nervous about the color of my skin because, you can see, like, in the poster, in the images that they're been sharing on Summerfall Studios on Twitter, it's a little darker than my skin, and then I had to take advantage of Liam's presence. So I asked him, what is Liam for Summerfall again?
Studio director and co-founder of the company.
Right. So anyway, I came to him and I asked him, can I have like an inside opinion of this? Because I'm doing this cosplay and I'm a little nervous. I don't know if it's going to be okay. And he told me basically it was fine since she's Greek because they have like Indian characters and black characters. And I got his thumbs up. So I was like, okay, fuck it. Yeah, I'm just gonna go for it. But yeah, it's I guess that was the only thing that I was like debating if I should do it or not. But
she doesn't really look she looks like a white person with like bronzer, like a tan, basically.
Right.
She never looked...
I don't know. Like, she has, like, very strong lines, you know, her face, her nose especially. So that got me a little, it got me thinking. But it seems like it's going to be okay. So if anybody wants to cosplay her and he has the same problem, you guys should do it regardless.
I mean...
Just, like, she's so cool looking. That's why I saw her and I was like, holy shit, I'm just going to... I like that coat. I like that hair. I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah, I understand people's concerns about things like cultural appropriation, but I also feel like, you know, we have black characters in the game, and if there's a white cosplayer that is passionate about it, that shouldn't be a deterrent. And likewise, if there's black cosplayer that wants to do Grace or something, that's also highly encouraged. Yeah, you know, like. It's really touching when someone reacts with creativity to what you've done in any capacity. In the same way, like, it's not the same, of course. I wouldn't conflate it. But I do, for example, when people want to do covers of my music by completely changing the genre, you know, like people have done, you know, metal covers of Journey or hip hop cover of Monaco, or people did, you know, like New Age, like very like, spacey kind of ethereal that's covers of things.
That is such a fun take, like related to this. I never saw it that way. Like music transformed into another race.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I know the analogy is imperfect, and I'm not trying to be cavalier or indelicate about it, but it is kind of analogous because, right. You know, I've seen people wildly transform things, and I've taken part in it. I remember when Journey came out, I did I released this thing called like the Journey Bonus Bundle just for fun. It was all for free. It's on Bandcamp still, totally for free. In fact, you can't pay for it even if you want to. And one of the things I did, there's this wonderful Chinese musician named Jia that I've worked with a handful of times over the years who plays this instrument called the pipa, which is kind of like a Chinese version of a banjo in terms of how it sounds. And I basically told her, you know, here's the theme to Journey, and I would love to see you just kind of improvise in a slightly sort of folk style by, you know, according to your traditions, basically, and just turned her loose. Mm-hmm. And then I played with the audio that she gave me. She recorded it in my studio. We were together, and it was like, ooh, what if this? What if that? And and she kind of played with it and explored it and transformed it into something completely different and new. And you can still hear that it's Journey, but it's totally different from anything in the game.
That's cool.
And I love that. I really love doing that in my writing, and it's really exciting when you see people do it. Or like, I remember there's those Russian covers of the murder ballads,
oh, yeah.
You know, from Assassin's Creed, and hearing the lyrics all translated.
Smear.
for jokes, and all that. So anyway, yeah. I love it. I love to see sort of what we would call cultural exchange. I love to see people just, you know, very...
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I completely agree, but it regardless a little bit delicate topic, and I will never want to offend anybody. Just to feel safe. That's what I needed, and he was down, and that got me all the energy I needed to finish the costume in time.
Yeah,
I was sewing the same thing.
Yeah, you prepared that thing very last minute. You seem to have a real gift for that, for pulling things together astonishingly well at the last moment. I remember your Journey one you did like the night before you went to Egypt.
Same story. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty
last minute.
It's pretty nuts.
I'm not proud of that, but at the same time, yes, I am.
No, but yeah, the detail that you created, and the fact that you got to get a photo with Mary Elizabeth.
Oh my God, yes.
Made me very happy.
She was so awesome. She's like a fucking badass. Ugh, you guys, I can't wait. Seriously, I keep asking Austin to not show me much of the story. I heard the music. I heard some of the songs. But I keep trying to like push it because I do want to play it. And I want to know what's the story and who would I like to like enamorate or whatever, you know.
The romance options. Yep.
Yes. As far as I know, there are four options, and I think the character that I cosplay is gonna be my first.
Yeah, they're all very different from each other, both musically and just narratively. The idea of why Grace is attracted to them, what I like about this game is it really does encourage the essence of actual role play. Like, it lets you embrace the idea that, oh, I really like this, so I'm going to lean into that, or I really like this, I'm going to lean into that. You know, it is. There are no separate mechanics from that. There are no separate like combat or crafting or exploration or solving puzzles or any of the sort of traditional game mechanics. You can't die. I saw a comment on YouTube earlier today on our trailer from somebody that said something like, I bet I'm going to be terrible at this game. And I thought, well, I hope they try
There's
it
no
and
way.
Discover that, yeah, that's
yeah,
literally impossible.
It's like Journey. Like, you just go and enjoy the ride.
It's even harder to, like, Journey at least requires some basic ability to kind of control the camera and move the character, which... is though they made it as easy as possible, there's still every now and again somebody who kind of struggles with just the basics of playing
especially a game. Especially on the like snow winds that I struggle for a while.
Yeah, like it's not meant to be hard, but if you've never played a game ever, the dual stick might feel a little challenging. But this one, you literally just need your mouse. Or the controller, you know, to just click on the options. It's really not, it's meant to be purely experiential. And, you know, for some people, they really want more They want something that feels like a challenge, or they want things that are a little more traditional gameplay, and that's why we try to be pretty upfront that, you know, they, if someone's pretty, you know, more hardcore, so to speak, this probably wouldn't be for them. But at the same time, the hope is also to expose the game to people that maybe think that that's all that games are, and therefore they're kind of thinking, oh, games aren't really my thing, and then they discover, actually, this offers a lot to me that's, you know, very exciting. And as a so-called non-gamer, like, you know, like a Broadway nerd or somebody.
Right.
That's the hope.
Yeah. Just for the record, so if anybody haven't had a chance to see it, will you please describe what, like, how does it look? What should they expect?
It has a very graphic novel sensibility. You know, it's actually all the environments and everything are all rendered in 3D. But the character sprites are 2D, placed in that environment, and it's very much sort of like a softly animated graphic novel. So it's very stylized in that way. It's not trying to compete with, you know, The Last of Us or some other kind of, you know, Red Dead Redemption, some game that has almost photorealistic quality
like
or
that.
Something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, it's definitely not like that. But unlike a lot of graphic novel type games, this one is completely voiced. That's one of the things, and the performances from our cast are just so good. So, you know, there's many thousands of lines of dialogue. David Gator, our creative director, is the writer, and he had to write. And of course, when it came to the songs, I was collaborating. All the lyrics are by the three guys from Tripod, Scott Edgar, Stephen Gates, and Simon Hall, and Montaigne, pop singer from Australia, who, funny enough, had to pause in the middle of our working on it to go compete in Eurovision, which was pretty surreal, on behalf of Australia. I thought her song was pretty cool, too. I thought it was very catchy. So we wrote the songs together. They wrote all the lyrics, and they also contributed all manner of, you know, musical collaboration. There's a lot of back and forth that we did, and I'll be sharing as we get closer to the release a lot more behind the scenes on how all that worked. And I'm planning at least one video like I did of The Pathless and of Aliens Fireteam, where it's like how to write one thing.
Oh my God, the video's gonna be like an hour.
Oh, come on. All of them have many, many, many hours worth of material I could easily draw from that have to be condensed down to about 10, 15 minutes. But for like the grand finale, that was one that Jan and David and I collaborated on for weeks and weeks and weeks, just that one. But I recorded all our Zoom calls and stuff so that I could make a kind of like, here's what it took for the songwriting and then the cast recording and then the production, all the going to Australia to record the orchestra and all the other musicians and collaborating with Joris and all the rest of it.
Make sure to leave some bloopers as well.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, there's probably from my meetings with Jan and whatnot, probably yes, but we'll see. I don't know actually what I'm even allowed to share from the cast recordings.
Oh no,
because there's rules with the Screen Actors Guild and stuff. I have to like investigate that. It's different from the musician recordings, but it was all just so great. I just loved every minute. I loved Laura, and I spent so much time together. And she's just such a pro. You know, she would come in and she would say, I don't know, this I'm kind of nervous about today.
Flawless.
And then just destroy it and kill it. And it was the same thing with the show on last week where you know, beforehand she was like, oh man, this is not my normal thing, and I'm not sure. And then of course she walked out on stage so confident and such a warrior. And it was so
annoying,
so fun. That playing piano while she and
annoyingly,
Ashley sang.
Annoyingly good, Troy said, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's not fair. Troy also, you know, as if it weren't enough that he's so charming and such a talented, serious actor, he really can sing so beautifully.
Yeah, that was really pretty. When is it going to be this stream thing?
I don't know. It might even be released by the time we publish this episode. I imagine
really?
Shortly after, if not that.
Oh,
yeah.
cool. Well, if anything, I'll try to link it. If you guys don't see it, it's because it's not out.
But if you go to the Summer Falls,
I will link to the trailer.
Yeah,
because that trailer was really nice. I liked how they cut it. It was very, really pretty.
Derek Liu is the name of the guy. Is it Liu? I think it's his last name. I never met him before this project, but he has, yeah, Derek Liu. He's cut lots of game trailers. He's extremely experienced. And I wrote on Twitter, people might have seen, that I usually hate the trailers of the games I score. I've seen so many where there's this kind of belief that the audience isn't smart enough, and so they cut this trailer that almost feels like it's hiding what the game really is. I've seen it with movies I've worked on. I've seen it with games. And I don't normally feel like, yes, that is the game. That captures the essence of it perfectly. Every now and again, there's great trailers. You know, Journey and Abzu both had great trailers. Banner Saga had great trailers. But often I find myself going, well, you know, it's fine. I get what it is. And if it gets people excited and they play the game, it did its job. And that's why I tend to just stay out of it, because I go, marketing people, they specialize in this. They probably know better than me. I'm biased, all that stuff. But this was one where I watched it and I was like, wow, that makes me want to go play the game, even knowing every inch of it backward and forward. That like made me excited. I thought he really did capture the spirit of the emotion of the game, the different characters. And it gave us a really nice little taste of a bunch of different cast while still leaving the vast majority for you to have to wait, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was so impressed. And yeah, I know they're planning more. There will be more trailers between now and the launch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Guys, you should go wishlist Stray Gods right now.
Yeah, it's on Steam. Yep. You know, there will be more announcements. I'll obviously prepare a soundtrack album that's going to be its own story.
Do we have the, like, a little glimpse of what you're working on? Like, how many albums, and how do you want to prepare that?
I haven't said anything publicly yet. I just saw that people were writing on YouTube, I hope there's an album. And it was like, there will be, you know? It would be so hilarious to do a musical and not release an album.
Oh, my God, yes, I know.
But I appreciate the kind of innocence of them asking.
It's like discovering Tina Place and Journey.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was literally a comment I got today on YouTube. Somebody who saw one of my Traveler Symphony videos and said, wow, I wouldn't have expected to see Tina on this project. what that probably means is that one of the other YouTube, because they commented specifically on the I Was Born For This that has all these other, you know, Rachel Hardy and Alina Gingertail and Peter Hollins and Maluka. Mm-hmm. And possibly they were a fan of one of them, but they'd also heard of Tina or something, and they don't know that much about Journey. They came to that and they were like, oh, wow, that's cool to see Tina here.
Yeah, no, it's just funny. It's just, you know, Tina is Journey, literally. Like, Tina is the star.
She is.
So...
Indeed. And it was, she often makes a point of saying that it was essentially her first real credit, like her first kind of big platform as a soloist. You know, she was in things here and there, but Journey was a big step up. Anyway, it's so long ago, 11 years since it came out and 14 years since we recorded Nascence together. But, wow. In any case, so yeah, I don't mean to steal all the spotlight, but preparing for this event was so all consuming.
Don't say that, because the only reason we haven't been releasing new episodes is because of this project. So I bet everybody wants to know what the hell were you doing.
But it was so cool to be able to I know it's not literally true, but we kind of were able to collaborate in the way that you spent all this time cosplaying, preparing the cosplay, and did such an amazing job. And everybody noticed and said something about it.
They didn't recognize me, which I think is one of the best experiences.
Yep. You were like shockingly, like perfectly transformed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dallas went the entire evening. My assistant Dallas went the entire evening seeing you and being like, that's so amazing, and not connecting that it was you. It was literally the next day that he was like, oh.
I didn't see him in, like in front of me, but because I didn't have my glasses first, and I kept making this joke about, you know, I'm Clark Kent, so I don't have my glasses and nobody can recognize me. But I was different and I couldn't see past, you know, like this.
Yeah, it's 8 inches or whatever.
Just, yeah, like blind, so I don't recognize people and they don't recognize me, and it's like a mutual. But yeah, no, I was happy to take photos and I have my selfie with Mary Elizabeth, and mm-hmm. which is the voice of my character, and I think that is awesome.
Yep.
But
it was,
yeah,
indeed.
So fun. I just want to like shout out my friend Calista for mm-hmm. joining on this, because she didn't know anything. Nobody knew really what was this game about or anything, and she was like, yeah, sure, why not. So I basically grabbed like a wig I had, and had like to change the hair to match it with the character I want her to cosplay, which is the main character, which is the Laura's character. So she was cosplaying the main character, and it was an easy cosplay to do, but still, like, I'm so happy she was down. She looks so nice.
And the photos of the two of you together are like, they may as well be from the game. I mean, it's just some of the best cosplay.
I mean, in the bar, not the bar, the venue that looked like the bar in the game. That was lucky. We didn't have like equipment for the photos, but we used cell phone flashes. And my camera, I gave my camera to Alf, and he did me this favor of shooting, because he's awesome, and photos went great. I love them, and I mean
he's a actual professional photographer who has shot a zillion cosplay photos, so he, you know, you put a camera in his hands and he'll get something good one way or the other.
He's like, oh yeah, is this kind, yeah, I can do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he basically killed it, and he made us look so awesome. I just can't believe, like, you know, a little makeup and everything, just a different person. I can't. I see those pictures and I'm like, dude, that was really nice. And a lot of people told me you should probably cut your hair like that.
Yeah, I look good.
That's so intimidating. I don't think my, like, I love like bitch vibe characters. I love villains and I love to portray them, but I don't like my regular life.
It's too much potato. Not enough.
It's too much. I know.
Not enough firecracker.
I can see myself wearing the hair, but I'm such a, I don't know, goofball. I don't know if I can pull it off in real life.
Well, you certainly pulled it off that night.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
It's also worth a little shout out that one of the real joys of this for me was that for the last many years, on basically every project I do, I collaborate with, you know, in particular, Tom Straley, Kristen Nagus, Joris Hoogstetter, and Paul Cartwright, none of whom had ever played together live. In fact, they'd never all met each other. And
so this is people that you've been working for years, but they never met until...
They'd never met. Tom, I've worked with the longest. We've worked together well over 10 years. Kristen, the next... most long after that. Kristen and I worked together since I started on Abzu in like 2013 or whatever it was, 2013, 2014. So yeah, good 10 years or so. And Paul Cartwright and I worked together for maybe 5 or 6 years, and Joris about the same, about 5. And they're just all so amazing. We had a wonderful lineup of musicians as well. We had a few other violinists and a harpist and a bass player who I hadn't worked with before and who were great. But it just was really special to be able to bring these people, you know, to come together on stage, all of whom had also recorded extensively on Stray Gods already. Like, they've already, Tom above all, there isn't, you never go more than about 2 seconds in Stray Gods without hearing something of Tom. Like, he's all over, the amount of hours he had to put in on this thing is unbelievable. And playing a bunch of different instruments. He's a guitarist, and he plays many types of guitars. He also plays electric bass throughout the game. So, yeah, it was just so cool to be able to have them together
so
for that.
So, will you say that Christine is the Tom of reeds?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a very famous musician here in L.A. in the studio world named Chris Bleth. And we often say Kristen is very much like the Florida Chris Bleth because they both play hundreds and hundreds. You know, they're both originally oboe players, and they both play everything that you can basically blow air through. And nice. So Kristen definitely identifies as an oboist / English hornist. But she on the show, she played clarinet and bass clarinet and alto saxophone and alto recorder. So she didn't even play oboe. In fact, I don't think she played oboe anywhere in Stray Gods. I can't recall ever writing an oboe part. But she played recorders, alto and tenor. She played alto and tenor sax.
How much music can we listen to Stray? Like, how much music?
Oh, there's many hours. More than, like, if you include the score that I wrote, it's over 6 hours of music. Which is, like, for comparison, that's, like, almost double what I did on Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Oh my god. Okay. Wow. And the game, how long is...
I don't know if that's public. I actually double check because there's a pretty wide range that's possible because there's a lot of content that's, you know, like kind of optional that if you do will make the game quite a bit longer. But I don't know. I don't know how. Very little of that has been stated publicly anywhere, so I don't want to speak out of turn here. Yeah. But it's a lot. There's a ton of music.
Yeah.
And because the songs are about 5-1 or 6-1 of how much music that we wrote versus how much you hear on a given playthrough.
I assume that you're definitely gonna curate the songs to the albums. Like, are we not gonna be able to listen all of that in the albums when they come out?
I mean, it's a pragmatic impossibility to hear, like, the finale alone has many tens of millions of ways it can be played, so it's literally impossible.
Every time you say that, I think it's just so ridiculous, but I can't believe, like, all the possibilities. But no, I mean the amount of music, not the choices.
But they're interconnected.
That's different.
Yeah, but like...
They're interconnected, yes, I know, but...
Like, I would never just release it as raw ingredients. That's ridiculous. That no one would even know how to listen to that. Like,
I know. No, for sure. So, you should... Like, I bet you're just going to do, like, you know, the finale song is going to be the finale song, but you're going to choose your...
I'm not going to say yet what's my plan.
All right.
It's a whole other subject, and again, it'll be its own press release.
This is too complicated.
It is. It's a big subject, and I'm technically still deciding that anyway.
Okay.
Because we have a few months still, and it's a complicated. But yeah, people realized that. I had a bunch of people come up to me after the show and go, "It just occurs to me, based on what you said, how branching this is. How on earth are you going to release a soundtrack album?" And it's like, dude, I'm not a big fan of the whole like "fuck my life" phrase. Yeah. Because it's too dark and cynical, but like this is a little bit on the border of, you know.
Right.
I love releasing soundtracks.
It's one of those that you just have to. That's why I was saying you probably have to curate a lot in order to release the essence of Stray Gods. So good luck with that. I know it's probably gonna be maddening.
Yeah, it's always an interesting challenge. You know, like, I remember on Erica, it was extremely difficult to figure out what the album ought to be because that branched so much. And I didn't ever want to create the implication that there's a right and a wrong way to do it. And so the album has this, because the album is like this authoritative, here is it is as we the creators deem it. And it's like, no, the whole point is this is role playing. You're supposed to express yourself. And so the album runs this risk of being like, oh, well, here's the quote real one. And if you do it differently, yes, you have that right. But it's not like the official way to do it. And it's like, no. There is no wrong way. That's the point. So, yeah, it's an interesting. But anyway.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? There was one last comment I wanted to make. And I don't remember. I can say for I will give you my album of the day in honor of all this is the musical that Liam and I bonded over, which made us realize we definitely should do this, which was the Once More with Feeling, the Buffy musical.
Oh my God, you're such a nerd. You have to put that thing on my podcast, Austin Wong.
Oh, yours is it? Yeah, no, but it's true. Like, there's a lot of amazing musicals. Obviously, I'm a fanatic for Leonard Bernstein, and I love, you know, West Side Story and Candide, and he wrote a lot of great theater in general. Even his Mass, which I don't love and not a lot of people love, has its moments that are incredible. And then, of course, Stephen Sondheim, who is like one of the most brilliant musical. He's just one of the most brilliant composer and lyricists ever. I mean, unbelievable. He died recently, leaving behind this unbelievable body of work. And yes, you could discuss all those to the table. Of course, recent, more modern ones. You know, of Hadestown and Hamilton and. There's many, many, many that you could invoke. But the thing was that spoke to us that in the storyline of Buffy is that they know they're in a musical and they're trying to figure out how to stop it, and that's very much kind of it's not that in Stray Gods Grace is trying to figure out how to stop the musical, but she has this power to create musical numbers because that's what being the muse is. And so she's surrounded by these Greek gods, given this power of the muse. And the idea is that, you know, by creating these musical numbers, she can kind of draw the truth out of a situation as she's trying to prove her innocence in this murder charge. And so we spoke about how the way that this kind of almost not fourth wall breaking, but this what we would call diegetic existence of the musical numbers creates a very different type of musical than most. You know, most musicals, the characters are not aware they're singing. It's a thing the audience is aware of, but the characters are just living their life. Right. But it made for an interesting type of musical and very funny and ridiculous and silly, but also brilliant in the case of Buffy, that they are aware. And we really loved the idea of playing with a similar idea. And that was the thing that when Liam and I had our very first ever meeting 5 years ago at GDC in San Francisco in 2018. And we just immediately were like, it was like, so what's an example of a musical you love? And we both were like, Buffy. And we were like, oh my God, okay, we have to do this together. And so would be my album of the day. It's so good. And, you know, Joss Whedon wrote this himself. You know, he had no training as a musician. And he apparently, while they were working on season 6 of the show, he would go around to the cast members and get a sense of what their singing voice was like so he could write songs to their strengths. And it's so good. And the finale, the ending song of that musical, is one of the most memorable moments of all of Buffy. Like of the whole 7 seasons, that last song where she bares her soul and tells them this earth-shattering news, it's truly amazing. The creative courage he had to take this big character moment for her story and put it in a silly musical. You know, he's a polarizing figure these days, to say the least, but to me, the Buffy musical truly is just a work of genius. Anyway, there's my album of the day. We can go back to
my suggestion
next week. We can make it Muse. How about so?
Yeah, we have to talk about Muse. That was great.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough about Stray Gods for now. There will be more to tell later. We can go back to normal brushes and keys next time.
Yay. I'll be in Costa Rica for the next 2 weeks, so I hope I can be able to record the next episode
remote edition.
Yes, we will see. I'll try to.
Yeah, shouldn't but, be too bad.
Yeah. You are the one who's always busy, so it's up to you.
Oh, it was just you know, the madness of dealing with this show and preparing and rehearsing our actors and all that. And now that that's done, life is more normal again. So.
Let's hope.
That's all from me.
Yes, thank you everybody for listening. You know that you can message us, email us, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Brushes and Keys.
Woohoo!
Bye. Bye.